Hi, everybody. My name's Paul. I'm a blank. I come from a long line of blanks. My dad was a blank. I'm pretty sure his dad was a blank. My brother is a blank. My son, believe it or not, blank. As you listen to me introduce my family tree with such detail, how might you think we should fill in the blank there? A lot of ways that we could. I could say, you know, gosh, I think everybody I named is male, didn't I? So, yeah, pretty much. I could say that we are all Whitmers. My dad was a Whitmer. His dad was a Whitmer. My son is a Whitmer. If I wanted to be honest, I might say that we were mentally ill. My dad, I don't know that my dad struggled. My mom, probably. My aunt, yes. My son, I think so. So the family tree is an interesting tree, isn't it? I could say, and probably should say, that I'm an artist. My dad was an artist. He was a musician. My brother, definitely a musician. Some of you have heard his music. My son, a musician, an artist. Some of you have seen his work. Oh, look, there it is. Think of your own family tree. How do you trace your family tree? And what positive and perhaps challenging traits do you trace through the history of your people? Think about that. That's what I'm thinking about today when I open Paul's letter to Timothy. And Paul has a lineage that he himself shares with Timothy. See, Timothy, it's not his son, but in a way it's his protege, shall we say. He's his understudy. And Paul is sort of, and this is one of Paul's prison letters. Actually, some people say this is Paul's last letter. He's in prison. And he's not only in prison, but he's on trial, and his days are numbered. He probably thinks, this might be my last. So he's passing the torch to Timothy, his understudy. And so in doing so, he not only reminds Timothy about their own connection. Remember, I remember you with tears. And I remember you in my prayers night and day. And I remember the laying on of my hands upon you, right? You can sort of see a liturgical moment in their past when in the church, surrounded by witnesses, Paul laid his hands on Timothy and sort of, again, bestowing the Spirit. Maybe it was an ordination. Maybe it was a commissioning. But somehow, Paul has empowered and given authority to Timothy. But he also reminds Timothy of his faith and where it comes from. And where did it come from? You read it. Did you catch that? He names a couple of people, a couple of women. Yeah. Your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Yeah. I'm reminded, rekindle the gift of God which is yours. The faith that you got from your parents. So, again, I think back on my own family tree. I am a blank. My dad was a blank. I could say church nerd. I'm a church nerd. My dad was a church nerd. You know, he directed the church choir for many years. I used to sit, we had a balcony, and we had our family pew right here. You can believe that? We had a family pew. And somebody came in and sat in your family pew. That was trouble, right? And I remember just looking up in the balcony, and there was my dad, you know, directing the church choir every Sunday. So, you know, a lot of you can say that your father was a pastor and his father before him was a pastor. And I'm thinking of Brad Lehrer, you know, how that string, that family tree is full of Disciples of Christ pastors. Well, you know, our family had produced some church nerds. My brother was a church musician and my dad was a church musician. And here I am working away in the church. So where our people come from and the richness of that? Another way I'm kind of reminded of that is it seems to be a homecoming sort of season, right? Erin Hiscox, I see, is at a reunion, a class reunion. Is it her? High school class reunion. I've gotten invitations recently to my 35th high school reunion, class reunion. I'm not going to go, but so there's this, you know, there's all this sort of flurry of activity I see on Facebook about people that I don't even know. I didn't know them in high school, and I still don't know them. But it's kind of interesting, right? And I'm kind of drawn into that with a sort of like, wow, we all came from the same place. And here's what's happened in the last week that I find even more compelling. There's a group called Slumber Falls Camp Reunion. This is the church camp that was very formative in my growing up years. It's in New Braunfels, Texas, on the Guadalupe River. Beautiful setting for a church camp. And now there's all these, so I actually went back to one of my photo albums and posted some pictures from way back. I mean, these are my people. These were my formative years, you know, in the church camp and sort of feeling a call to ministry, feeling a bond with other people in the Christian church and exploring our faith together. It rekindles something, right? So I'm really drawn to Paul's language there, his invitation to Timothy to rekindle what was already there. How long has it been there? How long has it been there? It's in you. How long do you think it's been in you? Does it go back to your grandmother? To her grandmother? Well, Paul says it was there from before the beginning of the ages. Did you catch that? Yeah. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Well, that's before my grandparents. I'm pretty sure it's before your grandparents and their grandparents' grandparents. That's way back. But it now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul makes several invitations here. One, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Two, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Three, join me in suffering. No thanks, I think I'll pass on that one, right? But Paul's invitation is bold, right? He says, reminding us about that spirit that God has given us, that he's asking him, inviting him to rekindle. It was not a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I probably should have read that before I said the thing about suffering, the invitation to suffering, because only those who have a spirit of courage and power can really respond to the invitation to join Paul in his suffering. Why would Paul invite us to join him in suffering? I don't necessarily need an answer, but I want you to have at least time to think about that. Why would Paul invite us to join him in suffering? Suffering, not just any random suffering, but suffering for the gospel. And the very next thing Paul says is relying on God, on the power of God. See, Paul wants to invite us into his world. Remember, desperate place where Paul is in prison. His days are numbered. His death is probably imminent. And he wants us to join him in that? What he really wants to invite us to is the reliance on God, right? If you need to suffer, if suffering is in your future, let it be an opportunity for you to rely on the goodness of God, the grandeur, the power, the Spirit. Paul's other invitations invite us to hold to the standard of sound teaching, to guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. So Paul's invitation, and again, that family tree that I think he makes all these references to, are an invitation for us to go back. But as I was thinking about, you know, these old, my own sort of reunions that are out there that I may or may not participate in, I might just do it, you know, through Facebook and posting pictures and things like that. But the further back I go, the further back we are invited, the further out we go as well. You ever notice that? That's what I'm thinking. So, like this 35-year high school reunion, think of where, I look at some of where these people live now, right? And they're all over the world. From Houston, Texas, a lot of them are still in Texas. But now there are people all over the world. The further back we go, the further out is our reach. That's the beauty of this table, isn't it? This table takes us back as well, doesn't it? It takes us back to the institution of the Lord's Supper. It takes us back to Jesus' Last Supper. And the further back it takes us, the further out across the world it takes us. That's the gift and the celebration of worldwide communion, right? That the further back we go, the further out our roots are spread. And so Paul's invitation for us to remember our parents, our grandparents, to trace our roots back to before the ages began, right? Why would he want us to go back that far? Because that's how far it goes. That's how far it takes us, to the beginning. And in remembering the beginning is an invitation to remember the vastness of who God is and the reach of God's love. It's very far, and it's very wide. So our invitation to this table is the invitation not only to go back to the beginning of Christianity, the Last Supper, the giving of himself for us, but it's an invitation to take that as wide as we can. And to make sure that when we gather at this table, we do imagine where it goes. It busts through these walls. It busts down walls. And it extends to the ends of the earth. Gathered at one table, we participate in that one spirit. Not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and courage and self-discipline. Thanks be to God.